welcome everybody present and indicate that you will be connecting and asking questions in the absence of the chairperson of the committee. We will be doing so in terms of Rule 1 sitting, NA Rule 1 sitting. The process is as follows, honorable members. I will call for nominations. The members will raise their hands, and then the member will state his or her full name and surname, and also the name and full name, the name and surname of the member that he or she is nominating. And then we'll get also a selection number. And once that is done, I will proceed to call for further nominations. If there are no further nominations, then the member so nominated will then come forward to take the chair. If there are further nominations, then we will proceed to the voting. Honorable members, I will therefore call for nominations, and I recognize Honorable Nkandi Menk.
Thank you. My name is Nkandi Menk Frida. I nominate the name of Sontensi to be the acting chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Nkandi Menk has nominated Honorable Sontensi. Are there any seconders? I recognize Honorable Fanfrey.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Sharon Fanskalsek. I'm seconding the proposal that has been made.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Are there any further nominations? Honorable Members, without wasting any time, thank you very much. I will therefore call for Ms. Sontensi to come forward and take the chair.
Deal with the business of minutes and other programs of the committee. mean, with the presentations, but before we get there, I think it's important for us to get to introduction so that we're able to associate the name with the face. Introduction.
Thanks, Chair. Before we go back, I want us to discuss the agenda, because there is a legal matter around the discussion of the Broadcasting Amendment Bill, so that we are well placed legally. And that is to say, the matter is actually in front of the court. And if the matter is in front of the court, Honorable Chairperson, I put it to all of us that it would mean we'll have to take a decision about the subject care rules. And maybe we could get some form of legal advice from Parliament as to whether this discussion does not violate that rule or not. But I understand that there is a discussion in front of the court in relation to the proposed amendment about the board, the nature of the board, the job of the board of the SABC. So could we start there first so that we don't inconvenience our guests as well? Thanks.
I think it's in order still to do introductions. We have the legal experts here. I think when the time comes, they will explain, and we take it from there. We get your legal opinion, so that we do correct it.
Just a quick question. I just want to say that I don't want to make it their mess. They are not members of Parliament. They are not bound by the subject chair rule. So that's why I was saying, let's not inconvenience them. Get our clarity first, because they are invited here by ourselves. That matter binds us as members of Parliament, our rules in terms of Parliament rules, that the doctrine of the separation of powers would mean that we hold our discussions about matters that are in front of the court, and we've done that before so many times. That's all I was saying. I'm not trying to suppress the guests, but we can introduce them and then get the legal clarity. Thank you.
To avoid the dialogue, I'll ask another to make a comment. But we know that they are always invited to the meetings. It's for that reason, for them to explain to us legal issues, because we may not have the right interpretation, because we are not legal people. That's the reason why they are always in the meeting. But for now, I'll give it to members to make their comments to the district.
I thought we were meeting today because the department is coming to introduce the bill. That was my take. And it's then going to be the decision of the committee after the production of the bill to take a decision on the route that we take. That will result in us proceeding with the other processes that are supposed to be entered into until such time that this process is finalized. But I thought today just to introduce the bill. If there are clarifying questions from members, we can do that. In the process of us engaging, obviously, we are talking about the issue which is of public interest. Of course, now I'm aware of the fact that there are all range of other issues that people are raising about this particular thing. And I'm happy with the fact that in your transition, when you were very clear, that we'll also have, there's no way we can cut corners and avoid public hearings about this particular process. And the issue that has been raised by Honorable Jones, I thought it would then be more relevant when we come to this stage. My take was that today the department is just going to introduce the bill to the portfolio committee, and if there are those clarifying questions that we want to make, we'll do that. also that problem. But he has a point, I agree. But I thought we must then allow the parliamentary to use the team. If there are only clarifying questions, we'll do that. That's where the issue will then become more relevant, the issue that is being raised.
Any other inputs? Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to reiterate that I'm of the opinion, like my fellow colleague who just spoke, that we are just going to get the introduction to the bill and no decisions will be taken at this stage by the committee. So hence, I would propose that we move forward for the agenda. Thank you.
Chair, without the waste of time, I concur with the two latter speakers. And mine is to say that whoever wanted to contest what is in the bill, we will wait for the right time to do that. Today is to listen to the department and the SABC, what is happening, and we'll take it from there.
Honorable Chairperson, I second the adoption of the agenda.
We can then go to introduction, so that whatever we're doing is officially recorded as a part of this proceedings for today. Can we start with the member? Okay, I'm Ms. Jogesi, the acting chair.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Honorable Sharon from this council. My name is Marisa Kiristo Machoma. I'm heading to school.
Morning. My name is Marisela Gigana. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. My name is Nkadine Fulda, member of the committee.
Morning. My name is Moss Felix. I'm a member of the committee as well.
Member of the committee from the Democratic Alliance.
Veronica Pandey, also from the Democratic Alliance.
Members who introduce themselves first before other members from EFF and the Alliance. You know, it has not been a practice that when we do introductions, we also say open parties. Nothing wrong about that, but I think it's also important
to give other members the opportunity to say they are also from the African National Congress. Just to maintain consistency. Thank you. They are not used to that. They take themselves as a collective of the committee. But yeah, if we have to say in the practice, nothing wrong about it. Let's come to officials.
So thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, I'm an acting DG of the DOC.
Colin Mashile, Chief Director, Broadcasting Policy, DOC.
Chair of Asokara, Director of the CDC's DOC.
I'm Saudi Musen, SABC CEO.
Leah Kumalo, SABC Deputy Chairperson.
I'm James Sagoma, the CFO of SNBC.
Teresa Salvador, Group Company Secretary, SIBC.
Please work by SIBC Secretary.
And Parliamentary Liaison, SIBC.
Teresa Salvador, Assistant Company Secretary, SIBC.
I'm the parliamentary leader's advisor. Thank you.
I'll do this introduction. If Mel Van Dam, your hand was up, let's note you, then get them to the list of the day. And as we have requested in the opening that if we can try to stick to the agenda and not count other issues that is going to, you know, spend time on unnecessarily. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. On the matter raised by Honorable Zosi, can I suggest a way forward? For the terms of the rule, the bill has been formally introduced to the Parliament, and it is now kind of owned by the committee, so it's up to us as a committee to decide what the way forward with the bill is. So can I suggest that then we get a legal opinion from Parliament about whether or not we should discuss this bill? And that will provide clarity for the committee, and we will begin to decide how to go forward.
As you have a legal opinion, we will send you over to them.
Yeah, no, Chair. I just want to indicate that this is not to try and frustrate the process. I'm excited at the prospect of discussing the bill. But I want us to be able to protect the integrity of Parliament in as far as its functionality is concerned. And I think maybe had we had a much more organization, this could have come up much earlier. The statutory rule says we can't discuss matters that are in front of the court for which there is a pending decision. And the SABC, with the Minister of Communications, are in a court at the moment where the constitutionality in relation to board members, their removal is being discussed. There is a pending court decision in relation to that. And if we could get a legal opinion as to whether we can discuss a bill that proposes the same thing, if the bill is not the constitution, and the trials of the court are a constitutional decision about the power of the minister, which is what the bill is proposing. So we're not discussing the constitution, we're discussing a change that will still need a constitutional ratification. So I think let's get legal opinion from Parliament, know that if we enter into that conversation, we enter into it confidently knowing we are not trumping our own views. Thank you.
We'll hand over for legal advice, but also taking into consideration the fact that we are dealing with the introduction of the bill today. We're not getting into discussions that are going to take us to any form of adoption of whatever. But let's hear them responding to your concern.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. As I understand the question is whether the committee can proceed to receive a presentation from the department on the proposed amendment. That's the question. Well, if that is the question, Chair, the stability rule as decided in the media television judgment, the decision of the Supreme Court of Appeal, which is a decision that gave up a standard on subjudice care, on how you test the subjudice care rule. The nutshell of that standard, Chair, is that there must be a demonstrable prejudice. There must be a demonstrable prejudice for you to be precluded from even considering a matter that is carried in full court for consideration of decision. In that regard, Chair, we would have to apply ourselves into that standard set in the media television judgment in order to properly advise the committee about the demonstrable prejudice that might arise from the committee receiving a presentation from the department. But from where I'm sitting, Chair, I do not see, and this is just a personal opinion, Chair, obviously not based on any reasoning that is encoded in the law, as I'm now asked to advise, I do not see that it would be demonstrably prejudicial to the committee to receive a briefing from the department. Because whatever happens after that briefing remains the preserve of the committee, remains the decision of the committee. But as I say, Chair, this is a view that I'm now giving you based on how I understand the rule of statutory care as pronounced in the media television judgment by the Supreme Court. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Chairperson, until we receive a proper, considered legal opinion, the department and the FABC are here. Let them brief us. We're not going to take any resolutions on the committee, and then once we've had the legal opinion, then we can decide the way forward. But they're here now. Let them brief us, and let's move forward.
I'm happy to cover the Honourable Chair, because I thought we had closed this matter already earlier on, before the introduction, to say we are meeting today to receive a briefing from the department on the proposed bill. It will then be up to the committee to decide on the way forward. So issues that are being raised, to me, they are not relevant for now. Because we are coming today to receive a presentation by the department about the proposed bill. And we are not, we had already said, made it very clear that we are not going to go into detail into the bill, which will then complicate the issues that are being raised by some of the honorable members. Can we make progress and allow the department to proceed to their presentation?
I think members who had the hands up were going to move in the same direction that Honorable Sadie and Honorable Pandan say we should continue the presentation, the introduction of the amendment bill. But let's not put words into your mouth. Let's make sure that we come to the closure of the input and give over to the department. I said in open here that we have a tendency of being tempted, you know, to close in many issues and we end up not getting time to get a proper explanation in as far as our questions are concerned. Can we try to be considerate of that first? All of
us? Thank you, Chair. You see, it was unnecessary to take a legal opinion. We are abusing the state resources. What he's saying is exactly what we advised. The only thing is to say that we proceed with the discussion of this bill, and we will take right decisions. I don't believe that Zebi is agreeing with Fandam. He's agreeing with the legal opinion. Because Fandam saying that we let us just discuss and leave this house. We don't take a decision. She said I suggest we don't take a decision. And right now we are simply saying we will discuss this matter and then there will be a direction. That's all.
Let's just come to the end of our input and give the department the opportunity to make their presentation. Your hand was up? It's all the same issue. Yeah. I think what I mean just now is I want to spend much more time developing on the issue that has been explained. I mean, we got the legal opinion. There's nothing stops us from getting the presentation. And we're saying it is just the introduction of the amendment bill. And you still have the public opinion coming. I'll give you a chance because we haven't spoken. And please, Peter, I'm begging you, members, let us make sure that they are given to the point so that they will proceed with such a progress.
Thank you, Chair. I want to raise this issue directed to you and say you must control the meeting of the chambers. Don't allow unnecessary delay in this house. We are about to hear from the department now. We agreed to go forward. We will not take any decision after this. Thank you so much.
I think I'm giving the last one, and like I said, but please, I'm not opening up to further discussion on the letter, but we have agreed that we'll continue the presentation. I'm going to find out and on with please don't
just want to be clear about where we stand. So what we, I just want to understand what you're saying. We're going to receive the briefing. We are not going to take any decisions about the bill going forward until we have an official legal opinion. Is that where we are?
Chairperson, I'm going to plead with the conscience of honorable members. When we raise discussions, our integrity must not be brought to question. It must not be seen as some ploy. And I don't understand why you are allowing that type of language. While raising substantial matters that relate to how we conduct the business of Parliament, and people think we're delaying it, it's not fair, Chair. Now, I'm going to tell you, I think this legal opinion is wrong. And the way in which we've been advised.
Order,
Chair.
Can I speak?
I am not you are providing a progress, you know.
Chair, I
don't think I'm going to take any. Let me suppress you and then go to the department to make a presentation.
Please.
Because right now,
not unnecessary to discuss
every input is, you know, provoking. Another input, another question, and on we go until last time we are here. And we said in the past, we see the department as not providing direction, but we are not the, I mean, we are the ones who are actually prohibiting them to have progress. Because eventually, we are going to say, it's time after they have to leave, then we get their responses in writing. And I said that responses which come in writing, they're usually not as effective as engaged, you know, on one-on-one as we are here. So please, I'm going to suppress everyone, please.
I have a right to put my objections on the table.
All people have the right.
I just want to say
the majority of members here are one to say, let us proceed with the presentation.
I understand.
And
that.
And you say the legal opinion is wrong. But now, if you are going to.
But we didn't get a legal opinion.
No.
He says these are his personal views.
Check.
Why are we not driving into the world of
the delegation, I think we have already done the introductions.
we'll move straight into the presentation outline. The presentation is quite short, so it won't be long. We'll give you the background, the review, the purpose of the bill, and also the suggested amendments, clause by clause. Honorable Chair, allow me to start by saying that the current environment that we find the broadcasting space operating today is operating at a rapidly changing technological environment. There's an advent of digital migration, which is before us, which then says all players in the space of broadcasting have to play their part and also ensure that they are sustainable and they're able to offer the services. I just wanted to make that point. Safe to say that the SABC is a listed public company in terms of the PFMA. It is incorporated in terms of the Companies Act, Section 8, Capital A of the current Act, indicates that. As government, we are committed to establish a strong, independent, and relevant public broadcaster, which is accountable to the shareholder, which is government, the public, parliament, and also service the needs of all of us in society in terms of the diversity of views as per its mandate. Therefore, the ability to discharge its public service mandate is dependent on the optimal performance of the board in providing strategic direction to the entire corporation. Therefore, it is our view that we must develop and implement a stable corporate governance model that ensures long-term stability and sustainability of the SABC as a whole. In this regard, we are looking at the size of the board, how big is the board, the process and period with which the board is appointed and removed of critical importance if the SABC is to survive in this space that we are going into. As a requirement, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, this bill has been subjected to a socio-economic impact assessment, which is a requirement by the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, that all rules and regulations which goes before the public has to be subjected to a socio-economic impact assessment. This has been done to look at all the social and financial implications of this bill, of this amendment. I must also say, Honorable Chair, this bill has been subjected to the legal opinion of the State Law Advisors and also Cabinet, but that we also receive an independent legal opinion on the constitutionality of the proposed amendments. That independent legal opinion has been sought and received. None of those raised the constitutionality issues of the proposed bill. Coming to the purpose of the bill seeks to reduce the size of the board. Currently, we know it's 12 non-executive members of the board, plus 3 executive members, GCO, COO, and the CFO. Secondly, to replace the role of the National Assembly in the appointment and removal of the non-executive members of the SABC board with that of the minister. We'll elaborate further on this one. Thirdly, to provide for the minister to appoint a nominations committee to make recommendations to the minister for the appointment of non-executive members of the board, and also to reconstitute the executive committee of the SABC, strengthen the powers of the president regarding the removal and designation of non-executive members of the board, and also to amend the procedure for the dissolution of the SABC board and the appointment of the interim board. Section 1 of the suggested amendment, now that we are number of non-executive members of the board from 5 to 9. In this instance, we have looked at various companies of similar stature as SABC, you know, within the private sector and also within the public sector. At most, the board ranges between 7 to 10. And we feel the SABC has to, at number 9 of the board, it will be sufficient. We do so because we also try to ensure that the board is focused. We need a focused board which is able to make decisions quicker, faster, so that the SABC can survive in this digital environment. So, all in all, the board members, if you add the three executive members of the board, will be cut. So it's non-executive and also three executive members of the board. Section 13 is amended to introduce a new procedure for the appointment of the board members as follows. I must say this honorable chair has been a subject of our international benchmark study that we've done to look at how other jurisdictions are appointing their boards. We look at Australia, we look at Canada, we look at the UK, and we also look at what is happening in other parts of the world. Many countries have begun to look at public broadcasting in a way that ensures that it's able to deliver on its public service mandate with a streamlined board and capacity. We are proposing that the role of the National Assembly with regard to the appointment of the non-executive members of the board is replaced by that of the Minister of Communications. This will only be done by new section chapter 2A, which provides for the appointment of the Nominations Committee. This Nomination Committee will be a subject of transparency and silence espoused in the law currently, wherein there is going to be public participation in the nomination, in the appointment of that Nominations Committee, which will then make recommendations to the Minister for the appointment of the non-executive board members by the President. Thirdly, in appointing the committee, the Minister must ensure that the committee is properly represented and has people with skills which will assist to choose the suitable candidates who will be able to support the work of the SABC, and be able to choose the suitable candidates who will have the qualifications and experience to serve in the committee and make decisions. We are also proposing a new section 5A, which is a new section altogether, because what we have seen in the past, we have noted that the whenever the term of the office of the board comes to an end, all members of the board, you know, leave the organization. We are proposing a new section which is going to look at the systematic retirement of the non-executive board members, in order to retain institutional memory, so that we don't seem to be starting afresh all the time, you know, in that board, so that there must be that continuity in the board. So we are proposing that one-third members of the board, of the existing board, will always be remaining whenever there is a new board coming, for a period not exceeding 3 years, for the sake of continuity. Section 310, we are proposing changes to the composition of the board, as proposed under Clause 2 and 3, to provide for the quorum for decision-making purposes and the vote of the chairperson, that the chairperson will have the casting vote in case if there's a tie in that regard. The quorum of the board we are proposing should be 7. Should be 7 in all material terms, so that we always have come in the board of time. Section 14, the current act legislates the structure of the SABC, which we have seen it has become a prohibitive for the SABC to be able to do the thing that it's meant to do. The current language says the executive committee is made up of the GCO, the COO, and the CFO, and 11 other executives. So which therefore means legislative structure for the SABC. In the digital environment we're in now, we thought this should be done away with to enable the SABC to structure and put structure in a way that is respond to the needs of the sector and of the company. So we are removing the other 11 executive committee members in the bill. Section 15 of the proposed amendments, we are proposing to amend it so as to amend the procedure for the removal and resignation of non-executive board members, that the president may, after due inquiry, on the recommendation by a panel, in this case the president will have to establish a panel to conduct that inquiry, to remove a member on account of grounds which are listed in the current act from APE. So what we are introducing here is the panel which will then conduct that inquiry. The inquiry in the current act is supposed to be done by the National Assembly. So in the case of the National Assembly, there's going to be a panel. With regard to the removal of a member on account of misconduct or inability to perform his or her duties, the decision of such removal must be based on the findings at all times and all the recommendations that are made by a panel appointed by the president. Continuing section 15, it provides for the appointment and composition of the panel, which is by the president in consultation with the Minister of Communications, and will consist of three suitably qualified persons. And section 15.4 provides for the panel to investigate the grounds for the removal of a member and compile a report and make recommendations to the president on its findings, and then the president will act on the recommendations. Section 15.5 provides that the president may suspend a member of the board while awaiting the findings of the panel concerning the member. The president can put a member on precautionary suspension, if that is the word, so that the processes which are undertaken can unfold. Without any interference. Section 15.6 deals with the resignation of non-executive board members of the board. We are introducing new section 15A in order to provide for a new procedure for the dissolution of the board and the appointment of the interim board. That the president may, after due inquiry and on the recommendation of the panel contemplated in 15.3, dissolve the board if it fails to discharge judicial duties and adhere to charter, referred to section 6 of the current act, or carry out its duties contemplated in section 13.11, I related to earlier. And the next section provides for the once the board is dissolved, the president must appoint an interim board, which consists of a person referred in the area in 12E, and five other persons to manage the affairs of the corporation for a period not exceeding 6 months. So it will be six people who will be in the interim board. And the president may designate one of the members of the interim board as the chairperson, and the other as the deputy chairperson, both of whom must be non-executive members of the training board. So the executive members of the SABC cannot be appointed as chairperson or deputy chairperson at any given point in time. And then section 15A provides for a quorum for the training board that must be 5 members at all material times, so that we were able to put things back into normality. And decisions of the training board must be taken by a majority of votes. In case of equality of votes, the chairperson will have a casting vote, as I already know. The last slide talks to the short title and the commencement of the Act 152, an Act of Parliament. It will be called the Broadcasting Amendment Act, and it will come into operation on the date determined by the President by a proclamation in the Gazette. I thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson, for the opportunity given to us to meet the committee on the proposal. Thank you so much.
Just the presentation, if we have a personal question, we can entertain it. Our madam, our lady.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the natural way forward that we would have decided to take now, had other issues not arisen, was that public consultation needs to happen on this bill, given its gravity and the fact that the Constitution requires that public consultation take place. But I'm going to suggest that 3 things need to happen before we decide on the way forward with the bill. Firstly, we need that official legal opinion from Parliament about the sub judice rule. We need 2 other legal opinions mentioned by the acting DG. Firstly, the one of the state law advisor and the independent legal opinion that you mentioned. I highly, highly doubt that as mentioned by the acting DG that the state law advisor or an independent legal advisor would have found that this bill has no constitutional ramifications. This bill goes against the spirit of Section 16 of the Constitution, which requires an independent media. It removes Parliament and therefore the people in deciding the management of the SABC, in deciding who the appointments of the SABC's non-executive board members. It reduces the board and makes it small and removes room for dissenting opinion, and therefore gives more power to a minister that's been appointed by the ANC. So I really, really doubt that there's any legal opinion that will find that this bill does not have negative constitutional implications. So before we move forward, let's get the 3 legal opinions, Parliament, the state law advisor, and the independent legal opinion. So those are just my comments, but I do have a question, and that's about the current board. So as it stands, that board is not quorate. This committee has in fact failed in its constitutional duties to make sure that the vacancies on that board is filled, so that we meet our constitutional requirements in that regard. So I want to know what decisions has this board taken that is not quorate, and its decisions are actually not legally binding. Can we just let know what decisions that the board has taken so far? Thank you.
Let me check before Honorable Ndusi speaks. In terms of the principles of chairing, he disputed the discussion or the presentation of this bill, and he said SEFF and are not with us. So now, what is that held for? Because it is noted in the minutes, which means we must treat him as he is absent in this meeting until this thing it will move forward. So that is my honor. Thanks.
Any other comments?
Yes,
members directly. So I'm going to avoid that.
Yes, do that.
Because you're going to feel other things. So I'm going to speak through you. Somebody called an order before I spoke. You didn't even hear what I had to say. So I'm waiting for you to rule on the order so that I know, and then I can proceed.
They say it will give me a glass of for stones. You say even before they say anything was in disorder. That's what you do. That's what you do. Then even before you hear what others are saying, you say what of order. So you get surprised when others do that. You say even before they say something, you are saying order. But let's leave it at there.
I'm waiting for you to rule on the order. Should I continue with my input or not?
No, I'm saying repeat for us what you said, the ESF position on this matter, that you said you're not going to participate, you say you don't have yourself, whatever, don't you present?
I said the meeting must note the objection of the ESF to the interpretation of the subject care rule. And it didn't, I don't know whether it was noted, Secretary, but I said the ESF objects to the continuation of the entertainment of the bill in this meeting. I was overruled, so you must note my objection. That's what I said.
Yeah. Your objection was noted, and the understanding is that you're not going to participate in the process. You're not going to be an observer or something. I'm going to say the implication.
One of them was making the life of the shepherd a bit difficult. According to him, this procession was not supposed to have been done today. Now the presentation has been done. Now we're at the stage where we need clarity seeking questions. Already there is a principle which says we're not going to be discussing and taking around this particular measure. Now he is an honorable member who didn't want the bill, to be presented. Now he wants to participate. That's what I'm saying, he's making your life difficult. Because if I agree with Honorable Deka, he said, I never thought the honorable member is still here. Because my understanding was that he's not part of this meeting by implication. Can we get guidance from the temple there?
Obviously, I think you are getting to my point. As I said, Omizodi should repeat himself. Because what you said, by implication, they are not going to participate. That's why we have made a sitting as an observer, and we cannot, you know, from the meeting, we want to observe and listen to deliberations or seeking questions. And we take it as this. That's what you meant. They don't
have this thing. You know, Chairperson, that's why we must rely on the rules of Parliament to take any decision, particularly from the Chairperson's point of view. As a Chairperson, when an order is raised, you can't seek the opinion so that the order is used on the basis of a majority rule and not the rules. What do the rules say? None of them are quoting any rules. What do the rules say? I must not speak because I objected to a decision. It can't be. You, from the position of the chairperson, must protect all of us. But in relation to our lives and the rules. And you are bothering on violating my rights. Because what do the rules say? People stand every day in Parliament to note the objections of many, many motions and notions. It doesn't mean they are precluded from discussing once the decision is taken to move forward. Even in the basic practice of democracy,
please give other people a chance to speak. I said it has not prolonged the meeting unnecessarily.
I want to speak in the deal.
No, what I'm saying is that you are actually contradicting yourself. You said you are not part of this process, and you must then know that the ESF is not, you know, going to entertain anything that is presented here. That's why we say by implication it means you are not part of the process. You are just sitting there as an observer.
I said note the objection of the ESF. The rest of those things you are saying.
But
but it's not as length to imply that you're not part of the process, that even if they can present, you're not part of the presentation. That is the implication of what you're saying. All right, ma'am.
Not sure, and I think you're very wrong. There's no rule that says if you raise an objection, you're not allowed to participate in a meeting. Honorable Mdlozi should be allowed to make his presentation.
You see, the problem is that you have that something, before anyone did anything, you preempt. What I'm saying is that the reason why I say he has to repeat himself, I wanted to make sure that what you are saying implies that he is not going to participate, and we're not going to stop him to participate, but we are saying it is noted that he said it's not part of the presentation here. That's why members are raising issues that why is he going to participate? We are not going to stop him from participating, but we are noting that he's actually contradicting himself. We are not going to stop him from participating in the meeting. But it is noted that what he has said implies that he's not going to participate. He's going to sit there. By implication, if you understand me, if you understand, that's what he said. Okay, don't go to that.
I'm still to the business.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry. I'm not just there. I look on that issue of participating or not. Okay. That's it.
I think you're giving more attention to another thing. We are ready to discuss as a presentation of the department. You cannot give honorable Mdlozi a chance to discuss in this issue. We finish the issue of honorable Mdlozi. We are ready to discuss the department presentation now. Please allow us to discuss it. Don't put more attention to honorable Mdlozi.
Honorable was raising issues, and in no time when that I was going to ignore him. I have to listen to what he is saying so that he can respond and not preempt like they are doing, that he's going to say this. I waited for him to say whatever he wanted to say. But I still say by implication, we took it that he's not going to participate, just going to sit there as an observer. But I think we are going to entertain a presentation now. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Look, as I said earlier on, I think that the act of bringing these amendments whilst there is a discussion in front of the court is a point of departure to understand what is happening with regards to the presentation that was just received. And I'll focus mainly on what was the role of Parliament in the bill, in the standing act. Standing law and its relationship to the spirit of the Constitution, but broadly what we call the doctrine of the separation of powers. The amendment, and if it comes from the Communications Department, I know that there's been a conversation with the Minister about her role, which is again a matter that is in front of the court. You can't ask us to go into the act and delete our participation as Parliament. You can't say we must. That basically is the request of the bill. The prayer of the bill, of the amendment, is that we must eliminate ourselves as Parliament in the process of running the SABC, in the process of appointing its board. But that's the center piece of the proposal. And it's problematic, firstly, because of the separation of powers. Once it's minister and president only, in as far as legal standing is concerned in our constitution, that's one entity. Because the minister serves at the pleasure of the president, it's the executive. The president is the executive, the minister is the executive. It's one person. And therefore, you are absorbing it as something that should be read as the public broadcaster. In fact, at the end, we no longer have the public broadcaster. We have a company of the state. Maybe even of the minister. So, the first thing to understand here is minister and president in the constitution represent one body, one legal person called the executive. And then there's parliament. So, the width
wisdom at all times is to constantly view parliament as separate, as a body that functions separately, independently of the executive, separately and independently of the judiciary. That's the doctrine of the separation of powers, that in the appointment of who leads the SABC, there are these two entities that are separate. And that's what gives it the character of being a public broadcaster. So I think it's problematic that the communications department wants the absolution of parliament completely. And then there's a fallacy of expertise that I think as well we must deal with. One of the things of the motivation that came with getting a body outside of parliament, being the one that recommends the minister, is a certain sense of like it must be people of expertise. By implication is that members of parliament or parliament might not have expertise to know who must lead the SABC. I think it's insulting the intelligence of the people of South Africa and the correctness of their vote. That spirit, that idea on its own, it insults the intelligence of the people of South Africa who competently vote. For people to come to this institution and must see this institution as very capable of executing its functions. So the motivation of a body outside which recommends to the minister who must be in the board is that we don't have expertise, or parliament, even if it's not led by the ANC, but parliament, qua parliament, might never have the expertise to recommend members of the board. I think it's wrong. Parliament is very capable. But also by implication, that if the minister will always be some capable person, it's always a civil servant who serves, who may serve an uneducated president, who may serve being uneducated themselves. But then, yeah, who may, like I'm saying, Jefferson, the assumption
Chair.
Of a body Chair. Outside.
Let us
I doubt
your understanding of the, the history of the black people who are still going to make such comments. I don't think it's allowing this commission to use such language. And so they're going to say, but let us make sure that we respect each other. Even if the person is not here, let us respect everyone in this house. Like you want to be.
No, Chair, let me help you. I'm not saying that the president that is sitting or the minister that is sitting is uneducated. Please listen to me. I'm saying the implications of saying there must be a body outside of the executive, outside of parliament, with expertise, implies that the actors at the moment may not have expertise. There is one test of expertise, is education. So I'm saying that that is a wrong point of departure.
Behind me, already there are discuss the bid, something that they did not even want before the presentation. So we to meet the contradiction. And I thought you will assist us in driving this meeting very proper. I thought after the presentation, you then allow members not necessarily engage, but to ask clarity seeking questions so that we are then able to proceed in the light of what we have agreed upon here. Now, we are now entering into a discussion. Something that he said is not in line with what he saw. He's the one who suggested the issue of the legal advice because he was not convinced that this is the route that we must take. Already he had questioned the legal advice that he got, but now he is now discussing the mess that he did not even want it to be presented to this meeting. So all I'm saying is that he must then be able to assist us by allowing us to proceed in the direction that we had earlier on agreed upon, of asking clarity in questions, and then we take it from there. Without necessarily going in detail with the discussion. The honourable member even now is raising a whole range of other issues, powers of the minister, which I thought those are issues that are not necessarily relevant for now. Because we had already agreed we are not discussing this deal. We are just asking clarification questions. The department is here, the department is here to clarify issues. Some of these issues will be more relevant even when you go to the public hearing that we have already on a greater potential.
Thank you for reminding. I think the body has better presentation. Let's entertain questions, strategic questions, so that we have the same understanding. And there were some hands up here before we get back to what you've agreed upon earlier on, to say we ask questions, so we don't understand, so we get clarity. And when you go to public participation, we are all in one, in as far as the understanding of the amendment is concerned. Is that the honourable chairman or Mr. Khan? There was a hand over here. Okay,
only
based on what
I would say
is saying.
Yes, I agree with him, but what I wanted you to do is to make sure that you stop honorable Ngozi that side. We are enough with his comments and interest. I think that he must also respect, and if you allow him to continue, then there will be a serious problem. Thank you, Chair.
The only condition to give you the opportunity to exercise your right to participate in this meeting here is for you to stick to the principles that you've agreed upon when you started here, that you're not going to get into details of the amendment. No, no, you can also know. You are the very first one who said, let's just discuss. And I said, no. No. You are the one. You are the very first person who said, we are not going to take a decision on it. Actually, I know that, like, never get China. Made a point about what we are saying. So what we are saying now is that we entertain questions, so that when we go to public participation, I was saying to him, let us take the principle of agreed upon when we started here.
What we agreed upon was that we'll get the SNDC brief us and we won't take a resolution.
Yes.
We did not agree that members of the opposition will be censored. Let the Honourable Lord speak. He has a right to speak in the Constitution. Regardless of whether he likes what he has to say.
I even said to him, the majority of members are saying we should proceed representation only. And then we had clarification questions and the department explained itself. There will be a time for us to get into details, especially when the minister is here, because it's all about that from what we've been saying. And let us please respect each other. We're respecting you, when we raise your hand, we know you. Also respect others. I have sent to Honorable Joyce that he must stick to the principle that was agreed upon when open here.
Because we have questions that we have to vote for the procedure.
Remember, can I say something? No. Can I say something? You see, I don't want to be, perceived as a person who's not given other conditions to accept the right and speak in the meeting. But you should speak, speak to the principles that we have agreed upon. And when back again, actually, was there for pandemic, who was the lead speaker here to say we're not going to take any decision anyway, let them to present. And I remember President Lana saying, you cannot say anyway, let them proceed. Now you want to contradict yourself and set everybody on the issues. We are not going to entertain this. We are not going to entertain this.
I didn't say we shouldn't allow deliberations. I said let's not take a decision. But you can't just be spoken as by the SNC and the
democracy. Exactly what you're saying, that make us in court and whatever. We are also now doing exactly what we are trying to refrain from. So we are going to entertain the question. Are there any way to enhance the representation? Let us make a speech, please.
You must stop insulting people. I don't know. What's your problem?
No, you must prepare. Because one time we will want to know each
other. No, I am already. Yes.
Violation, as it were,
doctrine of the separation of power. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, I think we're going to try and not copy what Mr. Rose was giving to set the preamble and enter into a speech and, you know, end up confusing people. Let us seek the point and the principle and ask questions, just do questions, and we comment when necessary without me asking questions. We can even comment. Is there any other hand of Dr. Joseph?
Chair, just two issues. One is with regard to 5A, the reappointment of some members of the board. If the department can try to elaborate it further on how the process is going to be run in terms of their suggestions, which will result in some members being reappointed for a period not exceeding 3 in the light of the rest of the members who are then going to be appointed for a particular period when some of them will still be proceeding for over a term. The last one is on A2, that it suggests in terms of the proposed amendment, over and above the interim board, there will be additional 5, or the 5 are then going to be forming part of the interim board. Just clarify that particular aspect, because I'm looking at that one, which would then suggest that over and above the interim board, there will be additional 5, or that means the 5 that they are proposing are then going to be managing the affairs of the SABC until the time that a new board is appointed. But lastly, Chair, I think we must state it very, very clear that it is the African Congress that has started a process that resulted in us having this public broadcast, an independent one. And it should be very, very clear that there is no intention of any other way to make this broadcaster something else, over and above it being a public broadcaster, which is very independent. I thought I must make that point very, very clear, that you see, we are well made committed to a public broadcaster, which is independent, because we have started this in the SABC, which is now independent, as it's now. We've introduced that particular aspect. So we can't make it in something else, because it's us who have made it an independent public broadcaster. Thanks.
In the absence of other
Chief, for me also, I also have concerns around the fact that the bill actually proposed that the power of to appoint will lie with the minister. And I would want to know how this will affect the independence of the SABC. Then also, there is no, the bill does not include a clause on how a conflict of interest would be dealt with should it arise, and also not state that the members of the committee must not have political affiliations. So how do you think this will reflect on the independence of the committee? Thank you.
We'll hand over to the department to respond, and I think they are aware of the fact that the political matters will be responded to by the head of the institution. They will do the session one that we need clarity on so that we can move on.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I will attempt to respond to the questions as raised. I think the first point that I want to indicate is that I think we respect the doctrine of separation of powers as a department. It is on this basis that as the department we are making this proposed amendment to this committee, for the committee to deliberate on what we are proposing and come to a decision. And also, indicated that in the appointment of the nominations committee, the section that is currently in the Act, Section 13, which puts a process which is transparent, which the public participate in the process, will apply. Spirit is carried over into the into the amendments as presented. I think the question of expertise, it is not the intention of the department to say that there is no expertise in Parliament. But what we are saying is that the people who are going to serve in the in that nominations committee will be people who will have the understanding of the sector that we are in. And it's not a new proposal. If you look at the Post-Bank Act, that section that talks about the nominations committee. If you look at the Sample Act, it's the same thing. So that language already it has already been catered for in other legislations which have been passed by the Parliament. So the issue of expertise really is to try and say, get people who are competent and understanding of what needs to be done, who are going to form part of the nomination committee, which will assist the minister to recommend to the president. The other issue that was raised that I will respond to is the issue about the independence of the SABC. Earlier on, when I started presenting, in the background, I indicated that we are committed to build a strong, which is part of the objective of the Act as it is, an independent, strong public broadcaster, which is accountable to the shareholder, to Parliament, and to the public at large. That spirit is going to be carried over. But I think the most important thing that I want to highlight is the fact that the independence of the SABC, the minister, even currently, does not have the power to determine the electoral policy of the SABC, which is at the heart of the independence of the SABC, as it were. But as far as the issues relating to the functioning and the stability of the board and all of those things, the minister has to have a role to play in terms of that the board functions optimally. I'm saying this because we have seen in the recent past that when there are challenges in the SABC, the finger point at the department. So we are trying to say, how then do we, from the beginning, get to a point where there is a role so that there is accountability on what is being in the board. I think the other point I think the issue of the reappointment of people to be in the board, one side. Our view is that the people who are going to be reappointed are also subject to a process, which will be a process that they will have to reapply. And it's the prerogative of the minister to then determine who are the people who are going to continue to be in that board. So they will also be subjected to reapply as it's happening. For example, with the CASA, the CASAs can reapply, reappointed, all of those things. So in that way. So those would be the initial thoughts. I think the other question on the quorum of the board. I will not be able to respond to that question. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Those are the responses. Is there a new question or a follow-up? But you have a question, so you just a follow-up. Okay.
I didn't
have any other follow-up before the new question. No follow-up, okay.
did get the feedback on those two legal opinions that we requested. One was the independent legal opinion that you mentioned, and the other was the state law advisor on the bill. Can we, as a committee, be given those bills? And then, sorry, I'll come back. I've just forgotten that.
So thanks. Those two legal opinions are there. And I think it will be up to the committee to decide as well those can be made available. But I must say, whenever we do a legislation, there's always the role of the state law advisors who play a very important role in that aspect to look at the constitutionality of the proposed amendments. And those legal opinions are there, and I think they can be made available if the committee so wishes. Thank you.
We just wanted to respond to the question about the quorum. That in terms of Section 1310 of the Broadcasting Act, the quorum of the board should be 9. So all the decisions that have been taken now are still within the prescript of the Act.
Okay. Sorry, how many board members are there currently?
There are 9 board members, 3 executives and 6 non-executives. Thank you.
Okay, it seems we have exhausted the input, just seeking questions, and if that be the case, we can excuse the department and get back to the business of the committee. Get to the minutes and other stuff. Thank you. It will be just a short, maybe 5 minutes rest and save you the house. Thank you.
Thank you.
started, we took a decision that it's going to be an introduction question. That's it. So adopting it might mean what? That we, if we are adopting the presentation, we are adopting, at least as far as I understand adoption, to mean that now the presentation is the decision of the committee. So I think I've never, I've said in several meetings, I don't know of a decision called adopting the introduction of a group. So I would ask us not to take decisions, as we said. We've had them, we've asked their questions. The next step must be to get those legal opinions, so that on the basis of those legal opinions, we guide the public process of public participation. That's all. I hear that when we say we are adopting the presentation, it has other implications.
I think it's just a matter of terminology. I think it's just a matter of terminology. Because we are not saying we agree with everything that is in the I think that's not what I'm saying. We're taking, maybe let's take note of the presentation as officially presented in the meeting. So we don't necessarily, we're not agreeing with everything that they're saying, but the bill has been presented officially, we've taken note of it, and then we are now saying we must then agree on the next step. So, as a matter of the principle, already we've already agreed on the route which says we must then go the public hearing route, so that we're then able to allow stakeholders and individuals who want to make necessary input to participate in this process until that time that we are satisfied that all these things have been done, we'll then take the matter to that thing. But as I'm saying, I think it's the matter of
obviously, I agree with you. I'm talking about the adoption of the minutes here. So that's why I say adoption of the presentation. It is noted, like it was presented, the comments and inputs that were made. So my mind is on the minutes. That's why I say adoption of the minutes. And another member moved to adoption of the minutes. Okay, sorry. Okay. So we've had the presentation. Oh. No, I think we have had the presentation with all the comments, input, and responses from the department. It is noted until we deliver on the issues when maybe we get into the integrities of everything to an extent that we go to the public participation. But we cannot put the horse before the cart. We have to hear the public opinion. Okay, thank you.
When is the adoption?
I was just thinking about the
minutes.
I'm sorry.
Before we do the public participation, can we get those three legal opinions? Parliament, the independence one, and the state law advisor, and then on that basis, once we know what the legal ramifications are, then decide on public participation. Can we have those opinions first? By the acting DG, he mentioned an independence one, and he mentioned one by the state law advisor. I'm saying before we, because the bill is essentially ours now, it's all over the department, it's for us to decide what happens with the bill. So I'm saying before we have a public consultation process, which we must have, can we have a look at those legal opinions first? So that we are appraised of all different opinions on the all legal opinions on the bill, and then we'll have public consultation. But can we see those legal opinions first?
That is not just about that. Talking to the lady there, she said that we're going to have them inviting the legal opinion and the legal opinion. Okay. And I think again, this one can now go to the minute and the actual adoption now, the real adoption. recognition of representation. Okay.
Can you go to the link that you're requesting and
make sure that it's the reflection of the deliberation of the particular meeting? Page 1. I think we did a spell check for everyone's surname and the name. Page 2. Page 3. Correction. In the absence of the correction, can we adjust the minutes? I would recommend.
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Only five minutes, move for the second. The minutes are still adjusted. Can we go to media analyzing?
On the process of advertising for public suggestions, can we update it on progress that has been made? It was not just started anything. When are we starting?
Thank you, Honorable Member. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Member. Chairperson, Honorable Member, we have received the quotations from the advertising agency, which are amounting to 238,000 rands. We're going to be using two national newspapers, which is English, City Press for English and the Rapport for Africa. And also, since the committee took a decision that must ensure that we also make use of the community media project, I therefore requested that we get like two community newspapers from each province, which means the advert will go out on 18 community newspapers. And the public education office will also be preparing like the pamphlets that will be also available for members to take to their constituencies, and the public office will also distribute accordingly. And the Parliamental Communications Services Radio Unit has also undertaken to fly the advert on SABC radio stations and some community media projects. The advert will also be distributed to our relevant stakeholders and will be posted on the parliamentary website. The only delay is that currently there are no funds on the line item for advertisements in the National Assembly Consolidated Fund. So the office of our finance office has indicated to me that they will need to write to the Secretary of Parliament to request the shifting of funds. So that would mean that the advert will not be going out this week, because there needs to be funds before I can submit the necessary political and financial approvals. So we're hoping that the advert will go out next week, because they said the process of shifting funds, it requires a lot of signatures and might not take a day or two. So that's why it might not go out this week, but probably in the next week. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thanks very much. I'm thinking, man, this Rapport and City Press are too expensive. I'm appealing to all committee members that let us support imaging as in this report and City Press, that are too expensive. Let us support our community police. I thank you.
Any other comments on this?
I disagree that the decision must be taken like that. I don't remember in the past us being held at ransom by such a decision. I think let's leave it to the wisdom of Parliament as to how they go about it. I'm sure there's a procedure, in fact I know, of deciding how they do assets, which they consider all the concerns that have been raised. It must be about, when you are advertising, you must think of the numbers that it must reach. So there must be consideration of the platform that those papers have in terms of their leadership, its diversity and all these things. And I think, let's not take these decisions here, we're going to be caught up in technical issues. We've done this before, let's leave it in the wisdom of the technical team to do it. Thank you.
I think Amketane is speaking on the basis of transformation, supporting emerging small businesses, but equally what we're saying that we must also think of the leadership of all the people and ability to implement to do as they used to do, but need to follow up the trade transformation in terms of empowering others. Thank you. Can we now come to the committee program?
We're not given reasons. Can that meeting be rescheduled and also actually given reasons why the meeting was postponed? Or you said to me via email was that unforeseen circumstances. What are those unforeseen circumstances? Those vacancies have existed for over a year. Why haven't we filled them? Why are we canceling the meeting? In fact, there hasn't been a meeting scheduled for filling those vacancies. So can we have some clarity on that?
We need to verify the information that we have about the other candidates withdrawing and take it from there. And we'll report accordingly in the next meeting. We now are avoiding a situation whereby we rush and do medical compliance. And we need to check who has withdrawn and do we add other members, those in the list apart from the 12 of 9 that we've agreed upon. Let's deal with this withdrawal and see how many people are left holding on. Then we'll come back and talk about it later on when we have the verification.
Are you saying that some people have withdrawn?
Yes.
How many people have withdrawn?
So far, I read about two, but I don't know. I want to verify the information and not the report on yesterday. And the other one is in a letter form, but just get all the information so that when we proceed to this thing, we're sure that we're consulted and we have the wisdom of the legal expertise as to we add other members or we leave as it is, the number that is there after the withdrawal.
That's just going to cause even more delays. I mean, it's been a year. Those vacancies have been filled in a year. So if one person has withdrawn, let's go back to the seniors that we have and choose, if two people have withdrawn and choose two other people, let's not delay it even further and add more bureaucracy and add more delays. Let's just agree that we're going to look at the CV that we have, add two more people if two people have withdrawn, and then schedule those interviews. We cannot afford any more delays.
Okay, all for that. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to put before this House and myself to record this. I think in the subcommittee, the same speaker, Honorable Van Damme, was saying to us, we're supposed to cancel the interview because of many people who advertised they don't have experience about the broadcasting fee. For all of you, he even read a certain clause of the fee in that meeting, and we said to her, believe us, we are not desperate to do anything that is out of order. What we will do, we will go through these things and then we will take appropriate decisions thereafter. So I'm surprised today he came with another statement. Why it seems as she thinks that she's here to play with our minds, or maybe she thinks that it's a question.
Thank you very much.